And welcome back to Desk Pop. I'm Angel.
I'm Junior.
And today we're going to be going over The Wild Robot.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a non-spoiler and spoiler review. So make sure you guys stay to the very end, at least for the non-spoiler, so we can let you know if you guys should watch this, leave it at home, or like never watch it again.
Yep. Let's start off with letter grades.
Yeah, we got the professionals.
We're
going
to dive right in, guys.
Dive right in, baby. There's no like hesitation because we are recording back to back tonight. So I really want to just...
going back to back.
And also this, we'll save it for the theater experience. So the professionals gave it an A. Well,
okay, CinemaScore.
Yeah. So CinemaScore gave it an A. So that's all the people who watched it first night. I'm not gonna lie, that was gonna be an A plus because we got the tomato meter, which is 98%,
and an A plus.
The popcorn meter, 98% as well.
Yep,
bro, 98% for both.
Yep, that's good.
Movie of the year.
What did you grade it?
Do you?
I give it an A plus. It is the movie of the year for me.
You know what? I put something different here, but I'm gonna change it. I'm gonna give it an A plus. I put an A, but I was honestly debating it when I watched it, and I was like, I had it like a couple spots behind a couple movies, and then I was like, dude, this movie made me cry like three times. This movie deserves more in the placement, you know, because not a lot of movies do that. Not a lot of movies hit me like that. Maybe I've just been emotional lately, but. This movie
was
great.
A really good movie. It was one of those movies where, shame on you, marketing team, they didn't do anything justice.
What do you mean?
They just didn't market it as well as they could have.
I don't know. I think it's hard to market. Like, I understand what you're saying because it's a great movie and maybe they should have marketed it more, but we'll see what the numbers say.
Yeah.
Not right now, though, because it is award season. We're going to be giving out our MVP.
Is it your movie of the year?
We'll save that for the end of the year, baby.
Okay. I know it's an A plus, so I know it's in your top three.
It's my top two.
Ah,
it's my number one though. Oh yeah, just gave it away.
I mean, you link your letterbox. So
yeah. So you guys make sure you guys check out my letterbox if you guys want to know where I place it for the 2024 movies. But it is award season. We are going to be giving out awards for The Wild Robot, the best, the MVP of The Wild Robot.
For me, it's Fink, the fox.
Are you giving it to Fink or Pedro Pascal?
Fink.
Okay. A lot of you guys might not know this. I didn't know this until I looked it up. Pedro Pascal plays Fink the Fox. That's crazy. This voice.
Star-studded voice cast, by the way.
Unrecognizable, bro. I did not even see that was Pedro Pascal. His voice, I always lose myself when I see him because he does so many different voices. Like when he plays the Mandalorian, I can't even tell that's him. Like, every time he plays a different character where I don't see his face, I'm like, that's Pedro? Because he sounds completely different from the last time I heard him.
He's got a very good dialect.
I agree.
He can lend himself to various roles.
But
I give it to Fink the Fox.
I'm going to give it to...
He said the... And the reason without spoiling it too much, he said my favorite line in the whole movie. So.
Oh, dude. He also has a great quote that I love, and we'll see if it's the same one. But I'm going to give it to Lupita.
Nyong'o.
Nyong'o?
She did a good job. Just so I don't think she did bad, but I think I like Pedro.
I love Ross. I really thought Lupita made the movie.
I think she killed it.
And also, I have a soft spot for Lupita. Like, she's Mexican. She's beautiful. I really have a soft spot for her. And anytime she's on screen, just like a Quiet Place Day One, I was surprised she was in this movie too. And I was like, dude, she's out here putting in work this year, bro. Like, great movies all around. She's been... If we give an MVP out for like the year end, like who did the best or whatever, she's up there with two great movies.
Yeah,
100%. So, we do have the anti MVP for the movie. Do you have
The Wild Robot?
Yeah, the anti MVP for The Wild Robot. Who is it for you?
If I had to give it to anybody, I guess it would be the... I don't know if it would be considered the humans. Or, like, the robots that they sent after Roz.
The robots that they sent after Roz. Ventro? Well, what's her name?
Yeah, I think it's Ventro. But they're technically controlled by humans. So,
but we never really see the humans.
I know they play, like, a small part in the movie. Like, obviously, like, background characters. Like, so, I guess I'd have to give it to Ventro if I gave it to anybody.
Yeah. Well, this is a first for me. I'm not going to give it to anybody in the movie specifically. This is kind of going to lead into the theater experience, but I'm going to give it to Real 3D.
You watched it in 3D?
Yeah. We'll dive into it. But, dude, legit, with the glasses made the movie a lot darker, and I couldn't tell if the animation was bad or if it was just the glasses.
I think you got to rewatch it.
Yeah. And maybe I do have to rewatch it, but...
Well, I'll talk about that in my theater experience, too.
Yeah. Well, we can dive right into that because I really don't have a horny on the timeline award.
No.
Play a.
Definitely.
So we do have the movie experience. You want to go first?
I went with Tom and Billy opening night, and we went to where we usually go. Which is weird because I think I was telling you, they don't usually go over there.
Yeah, we went to the same theater. We were there around the same time. I went back. I went to see two movies that night. This was the first one, which I was really happy about.
We made a point of that when we were choosing our tickets. We were like, let's not watch a 3D because I hate 3D.
Look, guys.
I watched Avatar The Way of Water in 3D and it ruined the movie. I remember I gave my grading like a B because of the visuals.
The visuals, yeah.
Like, I thought they looked so bad.
Never again. But I did bring some very cool things. So these are the glasses. You know, remember when we used to pop these?
Yeah.
The holes? Whatever. I might wear these for the rest of the podcast. but we do also, if you guys are watching on YouTube, I don't know if you guys can zoom in on that. So they gave these away for people who are watching it in real 3D. So it's like the robot thing that you can build, and it like you just pop them out, and then you build it up, and it's a little stick figure or whatever. I missed two pieces, so I gotta find those. They look like important pieces. But anyways, I just want to put that out there. That was also, I think, a main reason why I watched it. I watched it in real 3D because it was the earliest showing, and I was going to watch two movies that night. So I wanted to get out of there as fast as I could, not because, like, but, you know, I worked the next morning.
You have AMC Prime. I think you should go rewatch this movie.
I probably will, but tomorrow it's Howling Castles is back in theaters, and I kind of want to watch that tomorrow since I'm not doing anything. Howl's Moving Castle, I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a little near and dear in my heart. Go
ahead. It was kind of packed.
Yeah.
Half full, I would say. No kids.
It wasn't that packed. No kids, too. No kids. But it's Thursday, so.
Yeah.
I tend to think Thursday's night for the...
I don't know, man.
For sometimes the cinephiles. It's weird. Is that how you pronounce it, cinephiles?
I think so.
People who love movies. There was a lady with a dog that was in the theater. A huge dog just laying there. And I was like, I had to like walk to pass them. And I was like, damn. That was a weird experience.
Let's talk about money.
Perro. The wild robot, bro. The budget. Guys, put in the comments below what you guys think the budget is. We found out with Transformers 1, it was like $85 million. I'm going to give this $115
million. $115 million.
Yeah, if Transformers 1 was $85 or $75 or whatever, I think
Transformers 1 was higher.
We're not here to talk about Transformers 1. What was that?
Well, now I want to look it up. So thanks a lot. It has a range between $75 and $147.
It's $75.
What do you think the budget for the wild robot was?
It's like he has no ears. I said $115 million.
So the budget for this movie is $78 million.
Damn. Oh, $3 million more than Transformers 1.
Yep.
That's not bad.
$78
million. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I was wrong. I thought Pedro Pascal was going to be more money.
So as of this recording, the movie's at $38 million with $1.9 million for early previews. Because they did early previews for this movie. So it's at about $36, $37 million.
For the weekend, for opening weekend, it's not international, it's just domestic.
Yeah, it's just domestic.
Look, I'm not gonna lie, I think word of mouth is really gonna pull this through and make it a profit, but that's not good numbers.
They were projecting $20 million.
Ah, okay, well, that's better than I thought.
They were projecting $20 million.
Good for them
for the weekend, so they did a lot better.
Yeah, and they doubled it pretty much. Good for them. Should they go watch this movie?
I think people should watch this movie in theaters.
In Dolby or IMAX, anything but real 3D. I messed up, guys. I really did. Honestly, even just wearing these right now, everything just looks darker. And that ruined the experience for me a little bit. And I still gave it an A+, but like, I'm like giving it an A+, thinking the animation's really good.
I can't believe 3D is still a thing.
Oh, no, I mean, 3D's not bad. I'm not even gonna lie. Like, it was pretty cool, but like, I think it's cool if it's not animation.
Yeah.
Because I think there's a lot of people that go watch it in 3D.
Still though, I'm just
dude, it's just they don't have good times for Dolby like around 6-ish, you know. AMC, please, I'm begging you, 6 o'clock. But yeah, you guys should go watch this for sure.
That brings us to the sponsor of today's video,
which is us. That's Pop.
Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, guys. As always, we're on YouTube and we're also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, so if watching videos isn't your thing, make sure to give us a listen and make sure you guys give us a 5-star rating. That helps us a lot, especially with, you know, just gaining traction on the podcast side of things. We really appreciate all the support and everything you guys have done to like help us out. I feel like we've been growing a lot, especially just in the way that we've done these podcasts. So I appreciate all the everything, all the support and everything.
Yeah.
From friends, family, and strangers alike.
We see you guys.
We see y'all. Thank you. That brings us to the spoiler zone. I don't even know where to start with this movie, bro. This movie.
Runtime.
Yeah, pacing.
Hour 40. Hour 40. Perfect
Ronson. Perfect, bro. It was good. Hour 40 is always a sweet spot for movies.
It is a sweet spot for movies. It's not too long. It's not too short. And this movie had something going on from the very beginning.
What do you mean? What did it start with?
Like, it started with the Rosbox on the beach.
On the beach. And I really loved... Oh, my God. Dude, there were so many best moments from this movie. What was... Look, I want to bring up one of the best moments for me was in the beginning when she was learning the language and she just like stayed.
She just kind of shut down. And
like listened. Hibernated. Yeah. And then that's how we got an introduction to these characters, like the animals. Like we could understand them as the audience because Ross could understand them, you know? That was pretty cool because then you see it with the other robots later on in the movie. They don't know what's going on with the animals, you know? Yeah. So I don't know. That was pretty sick that you can learn the language just like that. How long do you think that took?
I mean, we saw the cycle. It was like... two days.
No, it wasn't 2 days.
We There's saw no the day night cycle.
No,
they did a really good job doing that in this movie.
I think it was a couple years.
No, it was not a couple years
for sure.
It was not
a no they years. Made it sound like she was there hibernating for a long time.
You're wrong.
I'm not wrong. I know what I'm talking about. This is not gonna take her 2 days to learn the language.
Yeah, she just has to listen. Plus the fox even says it when he's like, you at when they're talking about Bright Bill and they're talking about him migrating.
Mm-hmm.
He says, he's like, you got here in the spring. He has to be ready by the fall. So it only happened like...
No. The spring thing was when she crashed into the egg.
Exactly. And she was only there
before. We already knew that. No, you don't know that. We know what would have happened in the spring was with the egg thing.
Plus, we saw the possum with the babies.
You guys let us know in the comments below.
I think you're just not very good at telling time, my boy.
No, dude, the possum and the babies and all that, that was already passed after she learned the language.
We saw him at the beginning, though, but without, like, the language. We saw all the, like, animals before the language.
Maybe. I don't know. You're probably right.
But, dude, first 5 minutes, me and Billy were like, dude, this movie looks awesome.
Yeah, you're like, movie of the year. Let's leave.
The animation, we're like, dude, this movie looks really good.
Yeah.
DreamWorks, you should clip it, because I think I had him top two in my animation studios when we were talking about Kung Fu Panda and ranking them.
I remember.
It's top two. I want to say I had it ranked one. We'll clip that. DreamWorks don't miss, bro. Their animation studio is top notch.
I'm not going to lie. For a moment, so I didn't know like who made this movie for a minute. I thought I was a Pixar movie for a second. I was like, this movie's that good. And because I saw Pixar like number one. But I really thought this movie was so good for a second. I was like, is this Pixar? But no, DreamWorks really out here grand slams, bro. It was a great movie. And they're hitting the Kung Fu Panda 4. They have the Shrek. What other movies do they have?
Kung Fu Panda.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Do you think
the Wild Robots going to be a franchise?
100%. 100%.
Oh, we'll talk about that in the sequels. What was the worst moment for you in this movie?
Have any worst moments.
No, bro. No
worst moments.
Look, I will say the worst moment for me from the Wild Robot. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. I felt like when Bright Bill, so they like he's a little duckling, and then we kind of passed that pretty quickly, and now he's like teenager age, whatever, and you know, learning how to swim, learning how to do other things and all that stuff. When he finds out that Ross killed his family, and then he's like, you're not my mom. And I felt like that moment came too soon. Like, we didn't get enough time with them to the point where that was impactful. And that was my only gripe with this movie. And that's a little nitpicky, but, like, I just needed to bring something up.
I think it's just one of those things where it's, like, he was in shock.
Yeah.
Because animals have that, like, instinct to where when they're born, the first thing they see is, like, what they
latch on. I mean, even the possums tell them, like, hey, like, you were the first person, you know, what was it called when you... Imprinted. Yeah. So yeah, but still, I don't know. I felt like that moment wasn't earned at that point, and I was like, it came a little too fast.
I think it's also due to the
runtime. Yeah, well, I agree with that. I'm just saying that was one of my only nitpick with the movie.
Question: Was Roz in the right or the wrong by omitting the truth to Bright Bill?
I think she was in the right just because Bright Bill was very young. Like, when they're very young, sometimes they don't understand. And yeah, like, you can, like, Bright Bill was like, oh, I'm a teenager, I'm gonna understand. You don't know everything when, like, maybe you think you know everything, but you don't sometimes.
Which we see it come back around at the end.
Mm-hmm.
When he's leaving for the migration, the older goose, he's like, he may have killed your parents, but that gave you the chance to live.
Hey, because without Roz, he wasn't gonna make it. Like he was not gonna
make it. He was considered a runt.
Yeah, he had shorter wingspan, like a bee. You know, his wings. Small. He couldn't fly. Yeah. You thought that was cool. I really loved the hawk training scene.
That was cool.
Yeah, where he flies like a hawk because he has shorter wings. I don't know how truth like that has that. You know, hawks have smaller wings so they can do other things besides.
They can maneuver.
Yeah, maneuver. Like they can go down and all that. What was the thing? He can't just flap straight, but he can maneuver and do all that stuff.
He can maneuver and dive and turn.
That was really cool that he was working with weights too. He had like a rock that he was like.
They were putting my boy through it.
Yeah, he was like, he's got to survive from dusk to dawn or dawn from dusk or whatever.
Sunrise to sunset.
Well, yeah. I'm like, whatever day cycle, right? And I'm like, damn, they're really like having him in the air the whole time, which he's a bird. I guess he should be, right?
When we met the fox, I was like, okay, that's just a one-off, you know? And then they came back.
Yeah, I see what you mean because the fox stole the egg and you thought you were never going to see him again.
Yeah.
He comes back and he becomes a major character and a lovable character where I'm like, oh, because the fox first is trying to, like, I thought
he says it. He's like, I'm a fox. It's in my nature.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I do. I thought he was just trying to trick Roz. I thought that's where that was going.
The whole movie?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole movie. Well, not after a while, you get it. But like at the beginning when he's like, oh, I'll teach you how to, I'm an expert in eating,
flipping
and flying or whatever to like teach them, you know?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get to pay off where Roz is like, you're not an expert in that stuff, huh? He's like, yeah, you got me. You got me.
Well, even, so Bright Bill's born and he latches on to Roz. Roz is trying to get rid of it. That's when the possum starts talking to Roz and she's like, hey, that's your problem now, that's like your kid pretty much. And then she's like, well, what do I gotta do? And she's like, well, you gotta feed it and you gotta teach it to fly and swim.
Yeah.
And like that programs Roz into thinking like, oh, that's my task, I have to complete my task, right?
Yeah.
Fink right after that says my favorite line in the whole movie.
Go ahead.
Roz asks, how do you know so much about love? And then Fink says, you think a lot about things that you don't get or have.
That's deep. Bro, that's Fink out here, the fox, saying the deepest stuff. Who would have thought?
It's true.
No, well, he had another great quote in this movie that I really loved. It's not really a quote. It just really hit with me. It was just really sad, and like I cried. I cried like a baby. It's when Roz is going to leave for the final time. I guess she's like actually going to leave.
Yeah.
And Roz, Fink is like, who am I going to tell things to when I'm sad or when I'm happy, when I have things to say, you know, like I want to talk to you about it. And yeah, that just really hit me. I was like, damn, that's true. Like, you know, because he was always used to being alone. And I think when you're used to being alone,
he was an outcast essentially.
Yeah, he was an outcast, but you really learn to be comfortable by yourself. But when once you get that like companionship, because they were pretty much mom and dad, you know, they were pretty much, it didn't really translate like that. Like in the movie, like they weren't like romantically involved.
They were co-parenting.
Yeah, co-parenting, you know? So when you lose that, you got to go back to something that you've known the whole time, but now it's different. You're like, fuck, that's going to suck because I got a taste of companionship. Yeah. So I don't know. That really hit for me. Made me cry. I'm about to cry right now. That's why I'm wearing the glasses so they can't see me cry.
When Bright Bill was about to leave, I thought he was gonna come back.
When?
In the migration.
Oh, he was gonna come back like.
So they take off in the migration, and Roz chases after them. Edge of the cliff, like hanging onto the tree, and they come back. I'm like, Bright Bill's not going. He's staying.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like circled around to, like.
Did like a little maneuver that they do like at the NFL stadiums. Yeah.
And then like he actually leaves and I'm like,
damn. He's gone. Damn. Good Will Hunting. Like, damn, he really did it. He really did it. Also, one of my favorite moments from this movie was the gradual naturification of Roz, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like physically and mentally. So physically, wooden leg, gets moss around her and like just
scratches, like dents everywhere.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool. It just made it seem like she was becoming one with nature. So she was less a robot and more of
She says it towards the end of the movie.
Yeah.
Remember when the robots show up to take her back?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we're here to take you home. And she's like, I am home. I'm a wild robot.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And roll credits, baby. Like
she does her howl.
The little cute little howl.
Yeah.
That was really cute, too, that Brightbill was doing the activation or whatever at the beginning when he's a teenager. And it's just really funny to see
both of them. I think that's just part of, like, I mean, the other geese make fun of him because it's like, oh, look, it's someone that was raised by that monster.
Yeah.
I mean, you pick up on those mannerisms, you know? Yeah. So for Bright Bill, like, that's normal, you know?
Well, it's like anybody else. Like, if you're weird, it's probably because your parents were weird.
Yeah.
And, you know?
What are you saying? No, another scene that I really liked when, Winter shows up and they go into hibernation.
The community they built?
Well, yeah. Like, leading up to that, like, Fink was like, oh, just let everyone die. Like, we'll wait it out.
Yeah. And we'll have the whole island to ourselves, baby.
Raz is like, oh, like, that doesn't seem right. The movie touched on, like...
a lot of themes?
It touched on, like, themes that, like, a lot of kids don't really understand. Mm-hmm. Like, they talked about death a couple times.
Yeah, a lot of times, actually. Like, they brought up death a lot in this,
like,
movie.
The older geese, like, he dies. When they come back, they're like...
Long Neck?
Yeah, Long Neck. They're like, oh, where's Long Neck? And they're like, oh, he didn't make it.
Yeah.
Like, we saw what happened. He got shot.
But they were really not nonchalant about it, but, like, somebody would die, and they'd be like, well, they're dead. Like, that's just the circle of life, yeah, you know?
Circle of life. Which
we're animals.
Yeah, they're animals.
Like, even Fink was like, oh, like, I get hunted, and, like, I might not make it, you know, until next whatever. Next
spring. Their goal is always to make it to the spring.
Yeah.
Like, even when they're rescuing all the animals during the storm, pull back the snow. We obviously don't see it, but they pull back the snow, and they're like, we can't save everybody.
But they do save everybody.
I mean, everybody they can.
Yeah. But I thought it was really cool that... I don't know. Sometimes when movies have a lot of themes and can be confusing, but I felt like this movie really handled all the themes that it was trying to, like, put out there with, like, community, with nature versus nurture, or just technology versus nature as
Mark
well.
Mark Hamill was a grizzly bear?
Yeah. I knew that. That's cool. Was Thorn. Yeah.
Yeah. I did not recognize his voice either.
A lot of voices I didn't recognize, the grizzly bear was pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
All these animals, man, they really came together, especially the grizzly bear, because Mark Hamill had the role of the bear, where the bear pretty much brought everybody together, because he was the one that said, hey, I'm not gonna attack you guys while we're here, so you guys shouldn't either. And everybody was like, yeah, you're right. Let's
I don't know. It was such a good movie.
Let's explain.
It was a feel-good movie, and I really like feel-good movies.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, tearjerkers, man. They really get to me, and they're really great movies.
That's why Man Called Otto was number one undisputed for me the whole year.
Undisputed. We're still talking about it. Well, saying. I do want to do a little versus, because this is an animation movie, and for a while, I was like trying to understand. For a while, it's been 2 days since the movie came out. Well, Transformers 1 versus The Wild Robot. We just watched an animation movie last week, and a lot of people were like, oh, Transformers 1 is a great movie. And I was like, I don't get it, because I just saw a great movie animated wise, The Wild Robot, and it's a leaps and bounds
better.
Better than 100. Transformers 1. Animation wise, story wise, everything wise. Like, I get Transformers 1 is meant for kids, but, like, The Wild Robot is meant for kids.
The Wild Robot blows Transformers out of the water.
Easily, bro.
Easily.
So that's why I feel a lot more comfortable giving my ranking that I did from Transformers 1. Because this is what an animation movie should be, you know?
Animated movie of the year?
Yeah, I have it top two, so.
100. I was so glad. Like, I went into this movie not knowing what to expect. Blew away all my expectations. Tom and Billy also gave it A's.
Good for them.
They said it was really good. They really enjoyed it.
I mean, look, we got 3 months left in the movie season, so there might be better movies out there. I'm excited for a lot of these movies coming out. I'm not even going to lie.
But, yeah, too, but if they're not tearjerkers, man.
So in my top five, I have two tearjerkers in my top two. A really funny movie, top like a third. And then what's four and five? Fuck. No. I can't even tell you at the top of my head.
Would you consider Long Game a tearjerker? No.
Yeah. No.
It's just a good story of.
It's inspirational. That's what it is. It's inspirational.
Yeah.
I have The Long Game. That's one I have fourth. I want to explain the ending for the people that might not really
get
it.
Who did the animation for Transformers?
Paramount.
Paramount, okay. Cool. The ending.
So, yeah, I want to explain the ending for The Wild Robot, because that gets a lot of views, I'm not going to lie. But, yeah, so with the ending, we saw Roz leave, because that's where she was meant to be. They were going to keep coming after her no matter what.
That's when she realized.
And at some point, like, yeah, you can keep fighting, and the animals were down. They're going to fight until the last battle, you know? And they pretty much already took down, like, half the island, I feel like, with the fire, you know? So I'm like, these guys are still, like, they're like, what's that meme? I'm still standing, Captain but the guys... America. No, it's another meme. I get the Captain America, but there's another meme where the guy's like, I'm still... I ain't heard no bell, but, like, he's, like, done or whatever.
That's South Park.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't heard no bell.
Yeah, the guy, the doll, right. Whatever, and he's like...
Get off, Randy.
But yeah, that's what it felt like. I'm like, bro, like, you guys went through it. Like, there's no, and Roz understood that. She was like, look, I'm just
gonna shouldn't have to go through that.
Yeah, I'm gonna give myself up.
Yeah.
But the ending is really great, because Brightbill is migrating and he goes into one of those little are they harvesting? I thought they were for the families.
So The movie seems to be set like, it's like a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah, I mean, you get a lot of hints that the world went to shit.
Yeah.
And there's a, like, the Golden Gate Bridge is underwater.
Underwater.
So, like, that already tells us this is not a good future.
Yeah. So people live in these, like, domes kind of thing. I think those are just, like, they're the futuristic versions of, like, pastures and agriculture.
But we get Bright Bill sees a robot that looks like Ross. And
it is Roz.
And it is Roz. We find out, and
because Roz is like, my name is Roz 7113.
Yeah, and then she's like, but you
Rosenberg.
Can call me. Yeah,
7113. But you can call me Roz.
And that's when
they like reconcile.
Reconcile. And we realize that, oh, she still has that memory inside of her.
Well, she says it because she's like, when they wipe my memories, I could still hear your voice.
That's so cute.
Because I listened to something in here.
Yeah, but okay. So that brings us to like the question, like, do the robot, like I get it's a movie, but like how realistic is it that the robot has something in here?
I don't know. Ultron, man.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I don't know.
I think it's, well, we see it when Bright Bill leaves the first time for that migration. Roz gets like a sense of emptiness because I don't know if you like remember, she goes back to the beach. And she puts together a Roz.
Well, one of the Roz's.
Yeah, one of the Roz's.
That was washed. Because
she just wants answers. And the Roz like kind of like connects to her. It's like, oh, let's see what you've been doing. And she's like, you've been rewriting your programming? She's like, yeah.
Yeah, I've had to. Yeah, and she had to, what's the word? Improvise.
Improvise.
Mm-hmm.
And the Roz, other Roz was like, we don't do that.
Yeah, yeah, and we don't do that around here.
We don't do that around here.
Yeah, no, I thought that was really cool, though. This whole movie, honestly, the whole concepts and everything, just amazing. I really loved it. It doesn't get better than that. What's the sequel going to be about, though? The Wild Robot 2.
I don't know. I think the sequel is going to be about Roz finding her way back to the island.
Is it going to get a sequel?
I think it will get a sequel.
This feels like one of those movies that like doesn't need a sequel.
It made more money opening weekend than Transformers.
I get that. I do, but...
And they're about the same budget.
I mean, I know DreamWorks is a type of studio that loves its franchises. Like,
plus, this is a... We talked about this with Transformers last week. Family movies take a while to get going.
Mm-hmm.
They take a while to get going. Like they don't really get their legs until like a couple weeks later.
Oh yeah, to get like people in. Like you're talking about like money wise.
Yeah,
yeah,
money wise. So I think once families start like seeing, oh, this has really good reviews and it's a really good movie, I think the numbers will
match.
Will match.
Oh shit! It's not even Sunday.
It's not even Sunday.
Oh, well, doing the numbers, I was like, damn. Okay, yeah. That's crazy. Damn, we're doing this early, huh?
I think it will get a sequel. Just because the ratings were already so good.
I just don't think it needs a sequel. Like, I don't even know what the second movie would be about. Like, yeah, Ross coming back or whatever, but can you make a movie about that?
They find DreamWorks and all these studios find ways to make sequels.
Guys, is there a story there for the second movie? I don't see it.
I think there is.
I guess that's why they don't pay me the big bucks, because I can't see a story.
I mean, I think... We at least see Bright Bill's whole adulthood.
The baby pictures were so funny.
Oh, I know. Just
the funny moments. There was a lot of just knee slappers.
There was a lot of knee
slappers. Dark. This movie surprisingly had a lot of dark humor. And
I think DreamWorks is known for that, though. Because they do that in all their Shrek movies.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Like the Shrek movies, like you go back and rewatch them as an adult and you're like, man.
What the hell?
Like my favorite one, for whatever reason, or the one I remember the most, is when they make fun of the OJ chase with the white.
Oh yeah, that's so funny, bro! I know exactly what you're talking.
Like obviously, as a kid, you don't get that, you know, but like you grow up. And
the
like,
white Bronco, yeah. Stupid. It's so funny, but like
the scene in the Shrek 2 where they're getting arrested and Donkey's like police brutality, brutality, and they're like
pepper spray them. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. That's so funny. Yeah, and this movie had a lot of that in it too. So it was a good movie overall. You get snaps from me.
Absolute cinema.
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese.
I know. You don't gotta
reference it. People out there. Yeah. Know. I don't know. Some people on the internet like that. I'm genuinely glad that we saw this movie.
Yeah, I'm really glad I saw this movie because Megalopolis sucked ass. Yeah. But that's a story for another time. That we'll probably never tell.
Never happened. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that was our review of The Wild Robot. Let us know down below in the comments. Are you going to watch this movie in theaters? Are you going to wait for it to come out in streaming? Or are you just going to skip out on it entirely? We'll see you guys next time.
Adios.